Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Cause I'm a black magic woman. And you're my black magic man.
Santana hits from the perspective of the black magic woman. Finally. The other side of the coin.
And who's the man to tell that story?
Oh, God.
You have been involved in some black magic today because you have been chewing on a clove.
Ah, yes. How's your gob? We've got a suffering Henry.
Yeah, I don't want to make a big deal of it, but I am experiencing unbelievable levels of agony right now. I've just got tooth pain. Well, it feels like I'm being punched from inside my face upwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Upwards through the top left jaw sort of area. Upwards into my top left teeth.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly. And also occasionally they're shoving a chopstick up in there as well. And just really like wiggling it about quite hard. And the end of one of the bits of chopstick's broken off up there. And now they're trying to get it out by shoving it with using another chopstick. But they're just shoving it deeper in.
Great.
So, yeah, no, it's
do you know what's caused this?
I went to my dentist.
Well, you said you went to your dentist. Isn't your dentist, he comes to you, doesn't he? Doesn't he roll in on the back of a wagon
once every
4 years?
Yeah. That's right. That's right. But it's the, I mean, he has tales to tell and...
Sure. Spanners aloft.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. My dentist doesn't know what the problem is.
Mm.
He doesn't know if it's even a teeth problem.
Oh, no, that's not a dentist, Henry. That's a Timpsons. You went to a Timpsons again.
I went to a Timpsons. Yeah. And he's made me a perfect replica of my top left jaw in brass. Okay. Which is of no use to me, though.
Is that why you're engraved now?
Yeah, that'll be why, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm fully engraved. Yeah. He said he doesn't think he x-rayed it. He said he couldn't see what it was. So I then went for a second opinion.
Oh, I've never done that. That's quite exciting. Did you throw it back at him like, I'm getting a second opinion.
I demand a second opinion.
And
bring me the receptionist.
No. Well, the thing is, I went back. Unfortunately, I went back to him for my second opinion 2 weeks later.
A second opinion from the same guy.
Were
you in disguise the second time?
I was disguised.
So this is so unprecedented in dental circles. This guy didn't understand what that meant. A second opinion. He genuinely just assumed.
No, I think it was my fault. I didn't tell him I was going for a second opinion.
Mm.
What I did is I just secretly went back to see him again 2 weeks later to see what he thought then. You see what I mean? I just thought he might have developed a different opinion.
That you might have caught up on some reading in the meantime.
He might have done some medical journals, you know. Yeah. He might have been catching up on some back issues of the tooth. He still doesn't know what it is. Which is kind of...
It's a bit of an odd cul-de-sac, isn't it, when you go to the dentist and they don't know what it is?
It is an odd cul-de-sac. He's x-rayed it twice now.
Mm-hmm.
But what he's telling me now is he wants me to go and see a dental consultant in a hospital.
Mm. Oh.
Do you know what that is?
Don't know. Could be like a maxillofacial surgeon, something like that, maybe.
Bloody hell.
MaxFax, did that term come up?
He didn't mention that. What do they do?
They're trained as dentists and as doctors.
Okay.
So they spend incredibly long time in university.
Are they the kind of people that like... So I this weekend watched the film Midsommar.
Okay.
Excellent film.
And there's the bit where a man gets his face caved in by a massive hammer.
Yeah, you go and see a MaxFax guy about that.
Would he go... Yeah. Probably be sorted out by a Max.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't look like he's coming back from that in the film, but...
No, but if someone was to give it a go... Yeah.
If someone was to try and
panel beat his face back out, that would be a MaxFax surgeon.
Yeah. It'd be great if we could talk about any other scene from film history. Right. For me.
But wouldn't it be a sweet relief for you right now, Henry?
It would.
I suppose it would, in a way.
Pummeled and panel beat.
I think if I go for the third opinion, that will probably be when he brings out the the massive mallet.
Yeah. If you see there's a mallet on the desk of the person you're talking to, then yeah, he or she is a Max Vax.
And if in the waiting room there's between 80 and 100 elderly Swedish people dressed in flowers.
But I've never had toothache before, and it's bloody awful if I've got toothache. Because also, basically, it's quite. I don't quite know how to complain about it to people, because I don't know exactly what it is. I think it's toothache, although tooth experts told me my teeth are fine.
Could it be a kind of physical manifestation of the come down we all feel post Jubilee?
But you've got the whole nation's come down in your mouth. It's not just your come down; it's a nationwide level.
I've got Jubilee rot. It was either going to have to be the whole country was either going to get it a bit, or one person was going to get it fatally.
You might have been the subject of a royal decree.
Oh, fucking hell. It could be some of the pod content we put out about the
Jubilee. Should check outside your front door and see if there's a sort of by appointment to Her Majesty sign outside your front door.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
I always wanted the royal crest, but not like this. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Henry.
And thank you for your service.
No, not at all. Look, the main thing is to not make a big deal of it.
Sure.
What I will say is, actually, podcasting, talking, makes it slightly milder.
Hmm.
So?
Yeah.
Are you guys free for the next?
I am going to have to go for a.
Okay. You don't want to. I thought we could maybe.
Oh, what's that? Oh, really? No? Soon? Yeah, I'm going to have to go for a. Oh, I'd love to just sit here all day, Henry, and just.
Yeah, and so I've just got a text from a dental consultant. Apparently, I've got to dress up in traditional Swedish dress and find my way down to London.
Yeah, we would love to stick around.
Okay. And,
yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Cheers. Three beans together. That motto. We've moved on from that motto, have we? Three beans together, one bean for all, beans all beans together, for one.
Subject to conditions, I seem to remember being the motto.
That's right. Yeah. And you read them so fast, Mike, because you're so well-trained at voiceovers, didn't you? Read the conditions out so fast that I couldn't actually keep track of them.
I teased and seized you, and you didn't even know it.
Totally teased and seized me.
Welcome to Three Bean Salad Extra Beans, including extra bits from the shows, bonus material, exclusive content, and miscellaneous.
Extra bits. Extra, extra, beans all about it.
Extra bean, never been heard bean before.
That was a fabulous meal, thank you. And if we could just have a look at your beans trolley.
So this is extra beans.
This is extra beans.
This is extra beans.
Thanks for signing up to our Patreon,
if you're
listening.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Very much thank you. Big time.
And if you haven't and you're somehow listening, I don't know how you've done this.
Mm-hmm.
But we're coming for you. And we have extradition treaties with every country on Earth. So you can run, but you cannot hide, and we will find you.
Apart from Patagonia, oddly.
Apart from Patagonia, in which case...
Which obviously isn't its own nation state.
No.
Welsh-speaking enclave.
Yeah.
Of Argentina, in which case, fill your boots, I think.
Well, yeah, if you're there, hats off, you know, we got beaten by a better man or woman, didn't we?
We did.
Do you know what I mean? If you manage to make it through the fleet of armed goons that we've got surrounding Patagonia.
Yeah, unfortunately, we've got an ongoing kind of feud with Papagonia.
Mm. That's right.
The patriarch.
And Papa John's. the pizza franchise.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've combined forces now.
Yeah.
And they're making them than the sum of their parts.
They really are. They're much formidable. More powerful. So powerful.
But to those, you know, law-abiding patrons, thank you ever so much.
Thank you.
We've got some extra bits for you here, as per. For example, of course, we're very careful not to reveal too much of the inner workings of the bean machine, but we did discuss something of the lore of the bean machine. And of Benjamin Partridge.
It's very personal to me, the bean machine, so it's not the kind of thing I want to broadcast to the world, necessarily.
Where does one begin and the other end?
Well, exactly.
Between the bean machine and Ben Partridge, really, it's not a question that can be easily answered, if it should be at all.
Well, it's one of those imponderables, isn't it? Like, how wide is the universe? Or, can a sausage dog eat its own tail forever? Is it? It's one of those sort of infinitely impossible. Or if...
It's one of the top three. Those three famously impossible
questions.
But
it's actually above now. Can a duck get all the way from the middle of a pond to the edge of the pond if each time it moves it's only getting halfway to the edge of the pond?
But also the answer to that one is very clearly no, isn't it?
No, I think the answer to that one is yes, because by the time it's so close to the edge of the pond, you know, have you seen...
It might have found some sort of gantry or a jetty. Wherever they're launching the pedalos from, and then...
Exactly.
And the duck's all sorted.
No, the way I see it is, by the time it's that close to the edge of the pond, have you ever seen a duck? Bits...
Oh, yeah. I've seen and eaten ducks, so...
But have you ever seen and eaten the same duck?
I have seen and eaten the same duck, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, you go to those restaurants where you can just pick them out to, from behind the Perspex screen, don't you, Ben?
Yeah. And Ben often says, no, actually... Do you mind? Today, I'd like to use the tongs. Pluck out the little fellow myself.
I've never been to a ring your own restaurant.
What's that?
Bring your own live duck.
Ring your own.
So yeah, where you bring its neck. Bring
your own. Yeah.
Oh, you don't ring it up on the phone? Because I once went to
and ask which sauce it would go best with.
It's always hoisin. It's not worth
always
asking.
Plum.
Hoisin or plum. That, you know, there used to be a restaurant. It was a very brief theme restaurant in London, which I went to once, where you could ring up other tables on phones. Do you remember this? It was such a brief.
I think you might have mentioned this to me a long time ago. But
it was, I think I was like 12, 13. I was ultra awkward, and it was the kind of thing where you'd go and you'd have a pizza, and you could call up another table. And like flirt with a middle-aged couple or whoever happened to be having a pizza in that restaurant at the time.
Are you sure you weren't in the visitor's suite of a prison?
Yeah, and there was Perspex glass and the pizza was disgusting and everyone was wearing orange overalls. It was a prison, yes, sorry. I always forget that I did 20 years in San Quentin when I was 12.
You used to holiday in a FedMax in Missouri. Cheapest chips.
Got
full board
and learnt some tough life lessons. It was really, and you had to flirt. The idea was you called up other tables and flirted with the...
That sounds phenomenally intrusive.
Yeah, I hated it. I was just absolutely staring at boring a hole in my pizza with my eyes. I hated that.
Did you get phoned?
I don't think I would have got phoned. I didn't. I didn't think I achieved any positive.
It was before your allure.
It was well before my allure broke. You know, broke the surface.
Broke through the hard carapace.
like a tortoise. Like a tortoise breaking out of its own shell.
One half of it
to become a bleeding naked tortoise.
that was able to elicit pity.
What does it start as a complete shell and then just knock through half of it? Just, oh, sod it, that'll do.
Yeah, it was before the allure days.
How did we get onto that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, here's a bit of stuff. Enjoy.
The Bean Machine. Well oiled today. Had a new oiling.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. We're trying a different kind of oil, actually. We're going for extra virgin olive oil.
Oh, right, okay. It prefers the sort of vegetable-based oils, doesn't it?
It seems happiest when it's got a kind of medieval vibe going on around it. That's the... Yeah.
Well, it's purring very smoothly.
Ben, something I've been meaning to ask you. How do you get rid of the excess fat? Because I know that you've got the fat taps around the back, haven't you? And this fat... Very, very slowly, sort of dripping white, big white globules of.
Well, that's why he has to move house every so often.
Right? Is that, are you burying it, or what do you
do? It just cakes the walls and creates a kind of fatty cave.
Okay.
And then that builds up, and then as it starts getting to the point where maybe the opening of the cave becomes too small for me to get back out of.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, I have got a huge machine grafted to my lower half.
And you're living in an igloo made out of your own
extrusions.
Yeah. Your own fatty extrusions.
Extrusions.
Is that a word?
It is now.
Mike said it.
I stand by it.
It's good enough for me. Yeah.
Then I have to crawl out like a hermit crab looking for a new shell.
Yeah.
Then I crawl the streets, dragging the beam machine behind me. until another property becomes available and the cycle begins.
And you will do that at dead of night, won't you?
Yes, and I tend not to get the deposit back in general.
Yeah.
I tend to get quite an angry email from the landlord.
It's a lossy process, isn't it, financially?
Yeah. It's getting harder and harder to get decent
references
as well.
And because you have to declare yourself as a cyborg homunculus, don't you? When you put a bid in on our property.
Well, they had to change the census form, didn't they, for that?
Yes. Yes. And also, when you are a cyborg homunculus, landlords have certain responsibilities that they then have to live up to. So there has to be a smoke alarm. There's to be 4 smoke alarms in every room. Things like that.
So it's a headache for them.
Oh, absolute. Yeah. Red tape nightmare.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in terms of the fact that you've become a legend amongst children, a warning that parents use, you know.
Yeah, a bedtime story, a warning.
Never a podcast to be.
Mm.
Or you'll end up like Benjamin Partridge, the cyborg homunculus.
Yes.
And do you get any kind of royalty from those children's books? Or?
Well, you do steal Christmas presents, don't you? Genuinely. That bit of the parental myth is true. So that's where the...
Well, yeah, something has to fuel this.
That's where you get your gains, don't you?
Something has to fuel this machine, and I can't afford petrol or coal. So
you identify naughty children and you steal their presents.
Steal their presents and burn them and turn that into kinetic energy, which fires the beam machine.
And Christmas Eve, as it happens, is the best time of year to do that because everyone's...
Well, it's the day before Christmas, isn't it, famously?
It's the day before Christmas.
But and, also, by that point in the year, I'm so slick with fat that I can just slip into any small you know, gap in a door or...
And actually, the funny thing is you can do it through a chimney, which is it's a bizarre coincidence.
I often will.
Yeah, you will.
That chimney is unusable, though, without very serious cleaning afterwards.
Yeah, it will just combust. If you try and light anything in it, it will just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it'll shoot the property, the house or home straight downwards into the earth, won't it? It creates a kind of rocket effect.
Yeah. So if the family were thinking about extending downwards anyway, sometimes it's quite welcome.
It's a lot quicker and cheaper and less bother to neighbours than excavating a basement.
Yeah.
But of course, you will take a tithe of their firstborn son, won't you?
Just his fat. So yeah. Anyway, it's purring nicely. I just like to. I would apologise to all those children, but I've got nothing to apologise for.
I think they realise they're part of something bigger than themselves.
They are. Something else we talked about, it's useful to give a bit of context to this, is probably the biggest event that we've all lived through. You know, we're all less than half a century old, but that's still quite a long time to take in so many things during our rich lives, the three of us. But all three of us, I think, would agree to say that the highlight was the Queen's Jubilee.
Of course.
Yeah.
The Platinum Jubilee, no less. Yeah. We lived through the Golden one, and that was special.
Yeah.
Mm.
And we hoped against hope. We dared to dream we might make it to Platinum. Yeah. And it came and went. It did not disappoint.
Absolutely. How could it?
The levels of patriotic fervour going through this country right now are still, they are at record highs. Yeah.
But it's like a stick of rock, isn't it? Through the heart of this country is written, HRH, Her Majesty the Queen Elizabeth II of the House of Windsor. All stand, Your Highness.
The reason why people seem to like the Queen is that she's always been there. That's what people always say, is that she's the background of our lives.
Yes, she's...
Like the moon or chicken pox.
Or stairs.
Stairs.
Yeah.
It feels like it's quite a low bar for me for someone being relevant, the fact that they've always been around.
She's the well-put-together shelving unit of our society.
Yeah. Yes, like... Or slugs. She's slugs, isn't she? I tell you what, one thing about the royals that that I worship and adore is the wonderful way in which they're so brilliant. it's one thing that warms me to them slightly is how incredibly unhappy they look a lot of the time.
Oh wow! Even when there's literally a million people in front of you cheering about
like the
what a £100 million has been spent on some kind of thing for you to look at,
and you're wearing underpants that are so
your face.
Soft. It's like exactly you're wearing underpants that's so soft. You're being, let's say we're talking Prince Charles's scrotum. I mean,
yeah.
Can you imagine how soft it must think that it's
so soft and fresh? The silkworm has only fallen off seconds before he has to step onto the balcony.
Yeah,
that's how fresh it is.
The silkworm, of course, has also been given some very, very small medals. It's actually sat next to Prince Charles in all those photos. If you zoom in,
so the silkworm has knitted a bespoke bollock hammock for Prince Charles.
Of course,
yeah.
Moments before and he makes
public appearance. By royal appointment, silkworm.
Yeah. And if you were to look at that bollock hammock. It's full of fleur-de-lises and various symbolic little
and bucolic
scenes, pictures of little
stolen diamonds.
Stolen diamonds. there'll be a couple of pharaohs, sort of bits of pharaoh and stuff. Right there. Yeah. There'll be
a 16th century treaty.
Yeah. And
written directly onto the ball sack, the Treaty of Utrecht.
Yeah.
And
which guarantees European peace.
So everything is imbued with symbolism, isn't it, in that world? Your pants, your socks, your bedstead, everything is just like full of.
I think, though, Henry, sorry to poo-poo your theory about his bollocks, but I think Prince Charles strikes me as he probably wears the same pair of M&S pants he bought in 1970. And they're basically being held together by sellotape.
Because he won't use blue tack, because it's too modern, darling. I don't understand blue tack.
But that's what I mean. I think, actually, he probably got some like itchy woolen ones that were once knitted by a Dutch, governess in 1850. They won't... they'll be incredibly uncomfortable.
Well, he has that...
And they were good enough for his father and his father's father.
Exactly. Well,
the thing is, that's the thing. He's got that, as Mike was saying, tell the face. That's what his facial expression sort of suggests. It's just he's an absolute so unhappy. I mean, the faces on the balcony, his faces are God. It was so... he's being, as you say, the heart, he's just had to walk onto a balcony. Thousands of people are cheering his name. He's got, a Zeppelin-sized, essentially, effigy of Cliff Richard about to entertain
bearing
him.
Down on him at speed.
But the face, and then there was another one. There was another picture of the Queen, I think, and next to her was an even old. There was someone who just seemed to be
old guy.
What is it? Yeah. Is it the Duke of? I want to say Kent. Yeah, he's a cousin.
Isn't he Princess Michael of Kent?
I think he might be Princess Michael of Kent. It's very hard to. He looked so unhappy.
No one knows.
He looked so unhappy.
Who
he looked
Princess
like
Michael. Yeah,
he looked like thousands of small people were inside him, just hitting his face from the inside with little sort of, I don't know, bats.
That's him.
He just looks so unhappy.
It's Prince Edward, the Duke of Kent. That's him.
Is it? Right. I'd never heard of him before.
And good God. Yeah, he was...
But he's also dressed like he's off to the Crimean War.
He was having an off day. he looked crazy.
He looked crazy.
And he looked dangerous as well. He looked like at any second he could whip out his saber and just have at anyone within a 5-yard radius.
We, of course, talked about bears.
We did.
So we did.
There are many kinds of bears.
And what I think was one of our most informative episodes to date.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think it was the only episode that could literally save your life. If you're in a panic, confronted by three bears, if you can locate that podcast,
and you've got a good 59 minutes or so to listen through to it.
Yeah,
to listen through to the end.
You might. Yeah. We might.
Could make a big difference.
Save a life there. When you're in the Antarctic, you
should carry a huge white glove with you so you can cover all of you. You use the use the polar bear's tactic against itself.
Exactly.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. There is one bit of advice for polar bears.
Oh yeah.
And if you've got a gun, you can shoot it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, hello.
Yeah.
Okay. That's handy.
Similarly, with the black bears, if you've got a gun, you can shoot it. With the grizzly bears, play dead for a bit, so it comes closer, so you can more easily shoot it, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why the one that's really hard to deal with is a pope that has hijacked...
I want to hear this. Because I don't know how you... How do you get away from a pope that's hijacked a skidoo?
If a pope has hijacked a bear and you're being attacked by a bear that has hijacked,
which do you shoot first?
The pope. Well, if you know that if you shoot upon a pontiff, you are in all kinds of trouble, aren't you? The Vatican.
Well, they've got reach,
like,
haven't they?
They've got reach.
Are you constantly thinking about the pope just 1% all the time? And sometimes it leaks out.
Yeah. It's my resting thought is pope.
What if the pope hijacks something?
Yeah, who is the pope? What about what exactly? What's my resting face is an impression of whoever is the sitting pope.
Nice. So the gun is, it sounds like good advice. I don't know how long any of us would necessarily survive even trying to operate a high-powered rifle, though.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Now, certainly for me, I would end up in a situation where it's more likely that the polar bear would take the rifle off me, load it, and shoot me with it.
Shoot you out of it.
Which for him would be the perfect crime, because it's not even traceable to polar bears.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you'll remember we did an episode on the theme of prizes.
Oh, we did.
And now time for the greatest prize of all. More prize chat.
Yeah, that was quite chilling, wasn't it? We got a bit of an insight into you, didn't we, Ben?
Yeah.
Oh, don't bring that up.
We've learnt a lot about Ben this month, I'd say. It's been quite exposing.
Well, I'm a winner. I'm one of life's winners, and the other two beans are happy to try and drag me down to their loser status.
Yeah.
Haters.
Yeah.
Ugly stuff.
Oh, I've just got a theory, which is that very young people, basically, there are certain things you're into when you're a child.
Yeah.
And there's certain things you're into when you're middle-aged. And they're quite often quite similar. I think being middle-aged is actually like coming back to.
Yeah.
Hmm. So, whereas there's a period in the middle where you're not interested in these things. So, examples include... I'm experiencing example panic.
Model building.
There you go.
Yeah.
What about lying back on a mat and just looking at a mobile above you as it spins? Little moons.
That's infancy and then extreme.
While gently pissing yourself. While feeling the warm.
They're even further apart.
no. So, for example, yeah.
Being handed round at a wedding.
Yeah. Having people say, how old is he? Oh, 47. It's a lovely age. So for example, if I was to say to you, you could say to a kid, hello, Jeff.
There's no kids called Jeff.
He couldn't say hello, Jeff. Okay, Hello, Tom. I thought we might spend today walking around my garden looking for different types of mushroom, drawing pictures of them, and writing down what they're called. Now, if you said that to a seven-year-old, I reckon they'd be up for it.
You haven't met any seven-year-olds recently, have you, mate?
Is this happening in Fortnite?
And also, I'm going to keep on with this point, and also, if you said that to Mike, I think he'd be up for it.
I wouldn't mind it, yeah.
But if you said that to someone in their 20s, they'd be like, oi, get out of my fucking face. Oi, unless we're doing those shrooms.
Are they drug shrooms?
Yeah, let's do them. Otherwise, F off. You haven't even got the latest phone, probably. Yeah? So, other example. So, how are we going with this point?
No, it's strong.
Yeah, so, or if you said to a seven-year-old, Tom,
are you interested in homebrewing IPAs?
Tom would be, Yes, of course I am. I'd love to get a nice hoppy taste if we can. I've said that to Mike, he'd be up for it. A middle-aged person, I'd be up for it.
Yeah.
Said that to someone in their 20s, they'd be like, take this, brew this, and they'd stab you up the arse. Yeah? There's some really good examples of this. Can you think of any?
Going on a canal boat. Baking.
Canal boat. Peking. Going to Peking.
Baking, I said.
Baking. What? Exactly. If you said to a child, what's a Barbara? What's a young child's name for a girl?
Barbara.
Don't make it a girl.
Tom.
Keep it as Tom.
Tom, do you want to spend tomorrow, right, Tom? Today, what we'll do is we'll get a recipe book. I'll buy loads of flour and ingredients. We'll make a lovely big chocolate cake, and we'll stud it with various nuts
and mushrooms that we know the names of,
and named mushrooms. He'd be like, "Yes." If you said that to a middle-aged person, I'd be up for that. Mm-hmm. You said it to someone in their 20s, they'd be like, "What is cake? If it's not a computer game or a kind of drug, you can fuck off." they wouldn't be interested, yeah? So what happens is, when you're a kid, you're into certain things. Mm. Then you enter what I call... So essentially, you're an infant. Then you're in the reproductive phase.
Okay, yeah.
That's when you're interested in going clubbing, doing drugs, climbing up things, falling down. Waking up on an armchair and not knowing where you are. Oh, that happens at all phases, actually. Actually, so when you're infant, you wake up on an armchair, you don't know where you are, but you're at home. When you're a middle-aged person, you wake up on an armchair, you don't know where you are, but you're at home. But when you're in the reproductive phase, you wake up on an armchair and you'll be at a house party somewhere.
Yeah, or in the middle of a dual carriageway.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter. Yeah, it could be anywhere. Mm. And then we get back into... So what I'm saying is, what I'm wondering is, during the reproductive phase... That, I think, is just a load of bollocks, probably, isn't it? I think what's real is when you're an infant and when you're middle-aged. That's what you're really interested in. And it's biscuits, it's nice canal trips, going for a walk, writing down the names of flowers, pressing some leaves.
Hornby railway sets,
deconstructing an engine, making a model Spitfire. Mm-hmm.
Battle reenactments.
These are all things that kids and middle-aged people are into.
I think you're right. I think you're on something. I think so. I would frame it a different way.
Yeah.
Which is that it's something that you do as a child, then you reach middle age, and then you get back into it, and that is pathetic.
Yeah.
Golly. You know, Ben is very sassy today, isn't he?
I'm tired is the answer.
He's on full 21 mode today. Utterly cynical. Cold-eyed. Totally amoral. Just sees people as a series of calculations that he can try and win.
But is it that as a middle-aged person, you're so ground down by the world and everything that's happened and everything you've got to do, that all you want is to be a child again with no responsibilities and no, you know, nothing to worry about. And so you retreat into childlike things.
That's part of it.
To take away from the horror of having to put things in the washing machine. Quite so often.
That's part of it. I also definitely come across people who sort of get to a certain point of middle age where they've possibly worked quite hard for a while, and they've possibly also worked quite hard with quite small children, which is quite exhausting. And they want to claw back something for me now. But also that something for me ideally needs to be something that isn't going to sort of place their life insurance premiums at risk, for example.
Right.
It needs to be something that can be done ideally in or near the home.
Or in a small urban garden.
Or in a small urban garden or garage.
Yeah, yeah.
At relatively low cost, where the worst thing that's going to happen is you might shave off a bit of the end of your forefinger, and that's about it.
Hence things like the Guinness World Book of Records. The Guinness Book of Records. Right? So you go, what I'll do is I'll buy the Guinness Book of Records and I'll read it.
And I'll whittle that into a Welsh love spoon.
Yeah, but that sort of thing. So rather than taking part in the world,
yeah,
rather than you know, doing mushrooms, you're writing down the names of mushrooms.
Yeah,
rather than jumping off a tall building, you're reading about someone jumping off a tall building in the Guinness Book Records.
Yeah,
is it?
I think so.
I think cycling is an example. I know we talked about cycling quite a lot.
Yeah, because kids are obsessed with cycling, aren't they?
But when you're a kid, you love your bike, and then you get to a certain age and you think, I just want a bike again. That's a nice bike.
But in the middle, if you came up to me in the Ministry of Sound in 1999, I was off my face, whirling around like a bloody typhoon, like a sort of, I don't know, like a sort of denim-clad typhoon.
It's denim?
I don't know. I can't remember.
It's the coolest material, isn't it?
It's the coolest
clubbing
material.
Clubbing in denim, the Henry Packer story.
You know, chugging my head off to different beats. If you come up to me and said, do you want to go on a cycle trip? You'd have been lucky if I could have been asked to headbutt you. Whereas now, I'm massively up for a cycle trip. I'm not saying should we do a cycle trip, but
three-man tandem.
I would do one.
Ooh, three-man tandem. I wouldn't mind it. I wouldn't mind it. Oh, and there was also France, of course.
La France!
La France, La Henri was in his element for this one.
Oui, I really was. I was like a cochon dans la merde.
Pig in the sea.
I was like a pig in the sea, flailing around, panicking, no idea what's going on. Absolutely terrifying sight.
Yes, and I mean, during that episode, I think, Henry, you managed to produce so much croissant-based content.
Yeah.
It was never going to fit in the episode. Yeah. And even, I think there's even croissant-based content that we couldn't even fit in here,
now,
to be honest. If we put all of it in, I mean, that would be, we'd need a whole quarry size.
Yeah, we could actually set up a separate podcast that was just catching up with the backlog of croissant chat.
You talking sort of continuously.
Yeah. I mean, but at the same time, don't be thinking that if you give the Three Bean Salad podcast the challenge of talking about France, we just bang on about croissants for ages. Do you know what I mean?
Like the worst kind of Little England.
Exactly. Don't be thinking that. But nevertheless,
there is more to France than croissants.
Yeah.
But not that much.
No. Well, we discussed baguettes, didn't we?
We did discuss baguettes. Napoleonic history, didn't touch it. The distinctive architecture of Havre. didn't touch it. The Breton question.
Didn't touch that.
Van Gogh? No, he wasn't. He'd lived in France.
There we go. We didn't talk about that period of Van Gogh.
Exactly.
The writings of Voltaire, Flaubert, Camembert.
The paintings of Lasso Caves, some early art by the Cro-Magnon people.
Yep.
Yeah,
didn't discuss that.
None of that. None of that. Didn't go anywhere near
the city of Grenoble. Didn't mention that.
Organized crime in Marseille.
People who've died on Mont Blanc.
Jacques Cousteau and the French obsession with the deep.
Oh yeah, that would have been. This would have been a really good episode if we'd sort of given it a bit of thought, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
New wave cinema.
Of course.
The creation of the jump cut. Nothing on that. Nothing.
French Revolution, the Enlightenment, the way that basically changed, you know, the global politics forever.
Gauls.
Didn't mention the Gauls.
Yves Klein's blue painting.
Coco Chanel and the many other standout characters with their global impact on fashion and design. Nothing.
The Quebec link.
Very good.
Oh, French Baudet, Bande Dessinée, all the French comics and cartoons.
That big cycling race they like doing.
Ah, yes. Yeah. What's it called again? Tour of... the good old Frank.
The burning down of the Notre Dame.
Yes.
Shakespeare and Company, the bookshop, the English language bookshop in the environs of Notre Dame.
We didn't mention Corsica.
We didn't mention Corsica.
We didn't mention... We didn't discuss the French football team.
No, we didn't.
Or the rugby team.
Or the cricket team.
If they have one.
We didn't discuss how they've never produced a top-level sprinter.
And we didn't talk about sort of philosophy, essentially, did we? We didn't talk
about philosophy. We didn't talk about the nose on the wines of the Loire.
We didn't, did we? We didn't talk about French wine.
We didn't talk about the differences between French language and Belgian French.
We didn't talk about the French resistance during the war.
We didn't talk about sinking Greenpeace ships.
We didn't talk about their nuclear program.
No.
We didn't talk about Jacques Chirac or François Mitterrand and either of their relationships with Thatcher.
We didn't talk about Charles de Gaulle in exile.
We didn't talk about Charles de Gaulle at home.
We didn't talk about Charles de Gaulle just running down the shops for some fags.
We didn't talk about the Cannes Film Festival.
Turns out there's all sorts going on in France, isn't there? Oh well. But
we did talk about croissants. Have you ever seen a documentary or any footage of how they make a croissant? Because if you haven't, don't. It's one of the most horrifying things you'll ever see.
Oh, because they kill them very young, don't they?
They kill them very young, and it's
take them away from their mothers.
They take them away from their mothers.
Well, it's the stage where they deshell the crabs. It's the most terrific, isn't it? Yeah,
bring the crab bell.
Yeah, because obviously a croissant is
it's a deshelled crab filled with pastry and then cooked.
It's a crab dessert dish.
Yeah.
You have your crab starters, e.g. crab salad. You've got your crab main courses, e.g. crab burger. You've got your crab desserts, e.g. croissants, isn't it? It even starts with the same one letter. Come on, guys. Wake up.
Croissants.
Staring you in the eyes.
It's staring you in the eyes. No, the way they make a croissant, right, is unbelievable. It's basically very similar to how they make a top-of-the-range...
Audi.
Yeah. So German engineering.
German engineering. It's heavy, heavy industry.
It's a lot of magnets.
Very long research phase.
Very.
Before a single screwdriver is picked up.
Yeah. And about 50 people are involved in each step of the process. Neither of them actually fully understand what a croissant is. That's what's sad about it. Because they all just do their own bit. There'll be one guy going, I've been pinching on the snippers for my whole life. I don't even know how you make the middle section, or even if there is one. I just pinch on the snippers. And then you got another guy way down who goes, I fold on the top carapace. I fold on the large top carapace. I don't know how the snippers are made. Did they turn up? I don't know.
I make the bottom bit flat.
I flatten the bottom.
It's for me.
That's what I do.
My only job is to make it as flat as possible.
I have my spirit level and I have my spatula. That's what I do. Yeah, no, the way they make it, right, is it's basically like how they make samurai swords. Or incredible, you know, like that folding, refolding, refolding, burnish, bash, heat, refold, bash, burnish, refold, 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 bash, burnish, refold. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because, you know, that's how they get them so sharp.
Croissants.
Well, how do you think they get croissants so sharp? it's a folding.
It's the life's work.
It's the life's work of a master.
A master artisan.
Of a grand
Mount Fuji. With German engineering.
They fold and refold the pastry. These thin pastry. Refold, refold. But what they're bashing into it is butter. Cubes of butter. Pats. Of butter, handfuls of butter, bash, bash, refold, hammer, hammer, refold, hammer. And this butter just disappears into the folds and they bash, another pat, give me another pat, bash, another cue, another bucket full. And this pressing, it feels just like sort of infinite butter into this thin pastry, which becomes, and that's why, you know, a flake of pastry croissant.
Yeah.
It's almost like pure, it's like a sort of emulsion of, it's just pure fat that's just delicately taken shape for one instant as it flies across, you know,
your space.
Or as it, you know, like when, if it drops on your shirt and stuff, you get instant fat stains. It's got so much fat in it. Oh, you know what it does to a paper bag?
Yeah.
You put a cross on a paper bag for 5 minutes, you can see through it practically. It's like it becomes a plastic bag, basically. Because that amount of fat and oil and butter that's compounded into one, it's, when you watch it, it's almost quite distressing to realise what you're eating, which is just, pure butter. But One thing that I noticed in France this time is, it's just always the case in France that there's like these chateaus and houses that are like 70p to buy. I don't know what's going on with
But you're falling into the trap. So this is the trap, isn't it, of the British the 70p, person.
The 70p chateau.
Yeah. Like, there are lots of Channel 5 programmes about this, where someone buys a chateau and then spend the next 10 years sort of having a mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Their marriage dissolves. And they join the French Foreign Legion. That's how they get you.
That's slowly. So they're all owned and sold by the French Foreign Legion.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So it looks
attractive.
It looks attractive, but before you know it, you're paying some artisan several hundred thousand euros to do original wattling daubing on the walls because the local mayor won't let you just do it with bricks.
Yeah. Because uh-huh. All the regulation. There's so much regulation.
All in on the ways.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because from those programmes, so I don't know if people outside Britain will know this, but there is a kind of genre of TV programme in Britain which is slightly jolly, slightly dim middle-class people buy some kind of massive French house, thinking they're going to turn it into a B&B and live this kind of like lovely life, but obviously it turns into a disaster.
The first problem often is they won't have enough change to buy it because it'll generally be between 70p and £1.40, won't it? So the first thing is, have they got the change? Sometimes they actually don't have the correct change, which can lead to problems. But once they've bought it, then what happens, Ben? It all just starts going wrong.
Well, the thing they all complain about is the bureaucracy. So they'll all go, well, I've got to go and get this thing stamped. It's an absolute nightmare. And basically, it always involves you have to befriend the local mayor. And basically, if you get him on side, it's okay. If not, he will make your life an absolute misery just by making you sign forms every day.
Because basically, the way society works in continental Europe,
here we go,
compared to Britain is, in Britain, the way things work is there's paperwork, there's rules, there's regulations. They're a bit of a pain in the ass, and you you have to fill in your forms and send them off and stuff. Whereas in continental Europe, what happens is there's an incalculable amount of impossible paperwork, right? So you can't. There's more forms, more paperwork. Everything is impossible, but what there is human to human contact.
By which all about corruption.
That is what I'm saying. So
there is money to palm contact.
So in Britain, you go. So I've got to do something, right? I've got to download the form from the YouGov. Website. Is that gov? It's said gov, but it's spelt gov, isn't it? Yeah. So it's spelt gov, but you say gov. Yeah. So you do that. You type it in. I've got to download this PDF. That's fine. Fill that in. It's a bit of a pain. Whereas in France, it's like, okay, so I need planning permission.
So you must now go and find the priest who married your parents.
Exactly. In Britain, it's planning permission. I've got to go on the council website. I've got to download the architecture, you know, my architectural drawings, which I've got from my architect, or also found online, downloads onto the website. And then the council will let people know my street. They'll put a sign up and they'll get permission. In France, it's, so I need to get some very, very good cognac. I need...
You sound like you've been spending a lot of time with Daniel Hannan, the ERG.
I'm going to have to buy two strong male pigs. And I'm going to have to woo the mayor's three daughters. That's the first step.
You mean, Henry, his daughter's three. It's a very subtle difference, but it's important.
His daughter's three. Yeah. I'm going to have to win the hand of one of them in marriage. I'm going to have to...
Give the pigs to the other two.
And defeat their jealous brother.
Who has taken the form of a fennec fox.
But like, it's much more, you know, crossing hands with silver, rubbing the right backs, scratching the right...
Balls,
isn't it? Is that true?
Well, that's...
Is this true? This is your assertion.
I don't know.
This started out with you telling us what the deal was.
I mean, this friend, the butcher's brother. That sort of thing comes up more, doesn't it?
This is certainly the stereotype.
Yeah.
So we're able to air the stereotype. That's what we're doing here. We're airing the stereotype. Okay. But maybe if you're a listener, maybe if you're a French listener, I don't think we have any, but if we do get in touch.
Yes, please.
So
yeah, we're heavily reliant on Henry's expertise, which may be a problem.
But I know, I think it is like that, isn't it, though?
And they're not like bendy bananas, are they?
No.
We also talked about tubes, and in a way that's a redundant statement, because of course talking about anything is talking about
exactly
tubes,
as we proved
in the episode. And again, it feels redundant to say, and of course there was more that we talked about tubes, because of course there's more you can say about and anything, and here's more of that stuff about tubes.
And and it's in the nature of a tube, isn't it, that there's more of it?
That's one of the three main tests of a tube. Is a tube a tube? Is there more of it?
Can you pour Nesquik through it?
Can you pour Nesquik through it?
And could you pipe through it and make a sort of moving clarion call?
Yeah. Exactly.
When all three are met, you've got a tube, my son. So, Mike, this might mark me out as a real simpleton.
Go on.
And I'm asking you because you've studied anatomy at a university level.
Supposedly.
I've never been entirely sure whether you could run a piece of string, for example, through your mouth, all the way through, out the anus, like full body floss.
Come on. And floss yourself. Give yourself an internal floss.
Is that possible, or is there a bit in the middle where it feels like...
It'd have to be... I reckon... I don't know that any very serious scientist has ever truly tested that.
Right.
Ben, what you're asking, is there a sort of chomper bit, like in the end of Toy Story 3, that they're all, you know... a bit where it chomps?
Yeah, is there like a bit...
And nothing will survive getting through that?
It'd have to be pretty strong twine, because it's got to come up against your gastric acid, right?
Yeah.
And it's got a very long, convoluted route to go through. And it's gonna hit some bilious stuff in your small intestine, and it's likely to get quite tangled up. And probably what's most likely to happen, it's just going to get tangled up and slowly dissolved. But in theory, I don't know. Maybe it could make.
Let's change it from the full body floss to if you had like a mini submarine.
You had a mini submarine on the end of
it. That you swell.
The bowel can get very good purchase on a mini submarine. So if you put a mini submarine on the end of it, tie it to the mini periscope. Then it might make it all the way through.
I believe Elon Musk has promised those, hasn't he, in the next 2 years?
Yeah, exactly.
So the bit I don't understand, Mike, is you've got your stomach.
Yeah. You've got a series of sphincters going on.
Well, that's what I wondered about. So you've got your stomach, right? And that fills up with, like, what, ham and mushrooms and cheese.
Yeah.
And
fingers crossed.
And pizzas.
I'm basically thinking about pizzas, yeah. So it's full of pizzas. Yeah. And then it all gets mashed up in the stomach. Kind of like, I'm imagining it like a sort of muscly Tesco bag.
That's it,
right?
Yeah.
So that's pulsing in and out, right? And it's all full of acid and turns it into like a sort of pizzery gloob.
No, it's not still pizza. Ben, you could stop using the pizza.
It's post
sort of analogy.
Post pizza.
It's post pizza now. So
no, it's pizza to the end, Henry.
It's post pizza, which is quite similar to pre pizza in the sense that you've broken it down to its constituent parts, which is how it started. Obviously, it started out as its constituent parts, didn't it? Yeah. So essentially, it's whatever they transport into a Pizza Hut sort of kitchen at the beginning of the day, presumably.
Well, I've slightly lost track of that.
No, me too.
I think what Henry's saying is in your stomach, your pizza turns into a bag of flour,
a bag of premix,
and an unsliced salami sausage.
And a couple of full mushrooms and full tomatoes.
Yeah, and maybe a pineapple tree.
Yeah, and a bottle of Lee and Perrins.
So does your body then know, okay, that's all mashed up enough?
Yeah.
Then it opens a little sphincter at the bottom of the stomach, right?
Down it goes into the small intestine.
And it goes in, right?
Yeah.
But what if you're like me, I'm constantly eating at all times.
Yeah.
So there's always new stuff going in.
Yeah. So one way street, or should be, right?
Yeah, but how does it know? There'll be stuff in my stomach that's on the route to being premix pizza topping.
Yeah.
It's been processed. But there'll also be in there a Freddo that I've just eaten. Right? So when...
Well, you an Italian pizza maker? You swallow the whole pizza maker as well?
And then the wood-fired oven, yes.
What's poor Freddo done wrong?
For those who don't know, maybe outside of the UK...
Freddo's just got a good sense of adventure.
Freddo's a chocolate frog you can buy from the shop. And
oh, I genuinely didn't know that.
What?
Come on,
I didn't know. Sorry.
My girlfriend went to Costco a couple of weeks ago and bought a box of 90 Freddos.
Wow.
Bloody hell. They're little chocolate frogs, are they?
Yeah, Cadbury chocolate frogs. Anyway, let's go back to this. I've got digested stuff, but then also a new Freddo goes in.
Yeah.
So my stomach's about to open the sphincter, let the stuff down. Yeah. But there's a new Freddo in there.
Yeah.
Is that just going to go in as well?
Well, it might open a bit and let some of the stuff in. The Freddo might not make it in that first pass, right? It's not a complete emptying. It's not like sort of emptying a Hoover bag into a bin. Like that. No one's shaking it out until everything is in the bag, is out of the bag.
Okay, next question. Sorry to keep going on about this. This one may not make the podcast because it's a bit gross. Mm. Yesterday, I for tea had I had a fish fillet.
Chocolate pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some chips and peas.
Yeah.
Right. Had a shit this morning.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
There was a normal shit, but then also some peas came out.
Yeah.
Why weren't they digested by my body?
I don't know.
They were just like fresh peas. Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Bit of gastrointestinal what? Hurry.
So straight back in the freezer, weren't they?
For whatever reason, everything was just going a bit quick for you that day.
I took in nothing from that pee. That pee was a completely academic exercise.
Mike.
I may as well just have poured peas into the sewer.
But your pee has just had the journey of its life.
Yeah. If you'd only thought to tie a piece of string to that pee, then.
So it sounds to me, now, Mike... Mm. I think you'll agree with me on this. Okay. Is it not the case that patients, in a medical setting, patients are, generally speaking, the people best positioned to diagnose themselves?
Well, now they've got access to Google. Yeah.
They haven't gone through the 7 years of Google training, therefore.
That's all obsolete now.
Which is things like, you know, because you guys can do things like Google Images, Google Video.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Google. Smell of Google.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Yeah.
You know that the top five or six ones tend to be ads. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've had that 7 years. I'm wondering whether Ben has actually diagnosed his own problem here, because he was asking about tubes, right? He was asking about sphincters, whether or not things can sometimes get mixed up because he tends to constantly eat. So Ben is in a situation which is a bit like, imagine the Eurostar. Mm-hmm. So it's the same sort of setup.
Another tube.
Exactly, another tube, same sort of setup. Ben, what... Generally speaking, what happens is passengers get onto the to go through passport control, they get on the Eurostar. That fires off down the Eurostar tube. And then 20 minutes later, another one comes along. Yeah.
Yeah.
What Ben is saying is, what if there was just essentially one long Eurostar train the length of the channel?
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like,
sort of looping around, just a ring, sort of train ring.
Or just sort of juddering backwards and forwards. I don't know. I don't know.
I was also asking if you chucked a pee down the Eurostar. Would you have to be concerned if it came out looking exactly the same as it went in?
And also, if you had a string long enough, could you put it one end at Britain, one end at France, and sort of floss the channel? It suggests to me that there is, you're like, your sphincter, because it's the other thing, it's a bit like, is airlocks on spaceships, isn't it? You've got different compartments, and
yeah, sure.
If you open up two at the wrong time, suddenly your spaceship's full of water. Whatever, you know, like, you've got to maintain. That's what often happened in films, wasn't it? Which is, oh no, we've opened gate B and gate 3. There's 20 sharks, and you know, we've got 20 sharks to deal with now, whatever. Because different, you know, you release products out, you let air in, yeah, with airlocks. But what's happened with Ben is the airlocks constantly open because the amount of pizza that he's eating.
There's no point in closing them.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So it sounds like peas are going straight through at the moment. Which, I mean, if you could monetize that. Because that is such a trip for the pee. You can have a photo of the pee as it comes out of your anus, which you can then buy.
It was also dismaying because the pee was the only thing that was close to being healthy about the meal. But my body just didn't bother with that one.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
don't need that.
It just went for the battered fish fillet and the chips. It dealt with that. And then was like, nah, don't worry about
it. Ben, it also suggests to me, because the first line of digestion is well, we discussed this before, is
cutlery.
The knife and fork. Yeah. Cutlery. But the second one is the mouth and the teeth. It's just that pea's gone through your gob without any sort of chewing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I basically sort of down peas.
Mm. You down peas? You see, it's like a shot, do you?
More like a yard of peas. Anyway, sorry to talk exactly about my digestive tract, but I think it illuminated something for all of us. I'm not sure what. Okay.
So we've covered some stuff that would... get us thrown out of a section of the industry.
The podcaster's guild.
Yeah, we've covered some stuff that is most definitely NFP.
I mean...
it can never be broadcast, not even to Patreons.
If we were to put out the private conversation that we've just had, it would be...
I feel like it would be like a butterfly effect thing where,
yeah,
you know, the effect it would have, we wouldn't fully be able to realise.
No.
Well, only historians looking back would be able to realise that, you know, in 200 years' time.
Someone would piece it together bit by bit. Thousands of miles away in Manila, someone would end up writing quite a bawdy limerick.
Yeah.
Well, about what we'd been speaking about.
No, about something entirely separate.
And he wouldn't know.
But it would be caused by our conversation.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the tabloids would have run, all they all would have run it front and back. Yeah. Just, I mean, so your initial blast effect would be big, would be obvious.
Yeah.
Well, ruinous for the short term, just for us personally, absolutely ruinous.
Complete ruin.
Yeah.
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 I think, probably Ben and I would go into hiding. Henry, you try and fight your corner.
Yeah.
Lots of press calls outside your front door.
I've always used...
Your wife not present at your side. Notably.
No, a lot of speculation. We've already got...
No sign of Bluebell either.
No, there's already provisions in place for that. There's agreements. Yeah. There's actually a monorail, a secret monorail, located underneath our home.
With a cat cab.
It's got a cat cab for Bluebell, sort of at the top of the glass, a glass dome she can look out through. my wife sits in the back seat. There's a pilot.
Oh, he's piloted from the back. He's like in a sort of an old Tiger Moth.
Has he got a rear gunner?
Bluebell operates the rear guns.
Okay,
but obviously it's just according to her mood. It's just at luck whether or not she's pressing the mechanism or not,
and what she's pointing at
with her paws,
and who she's firing at.
Yeah, she's firing at. But you know, that's the way she lives her life, and that's the way she'll destroy your life potentially. That's how we've always.
And that monorail presumably sort of fires out across the channel.
Becomes
airborne.
And
well, Bluebell then becomes her kind of French alter ego, doesn't she?
That's right.
Le Belle Bleu.
She's got a French legend all set up already.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to slot into.
My wife has. She has a selection of fake passports, fake noses.
Bullion bum bag.
Bullion bum bag. She's got leg extenders if needed. leg reducers. Obviously, hope we actually wouldn't have to use those. But there's a whole fleet of different identities she can slip into. Mm. Bluebell as well. We've got some false identities for Bluebell. We've got she can play
some wingless parakeet.
she can play wingless parakeet, which comes with an adapted small book of birds, which we've adapted to contain a chapter on.
As you kind of have to rewrite history like Stalin style to worldwide.
We've got excerpts from Darwin's journey on the
beagle.
On the beagle, we've got new beagle diaries. So there's a whole thing. He discovers the wingless parakeet in the.
But you've changed it to his journeys on the Schnauzer, where he found the wingless parakeet.
Exactly.
Yeah. In Ascension Island. It was a different journey that people don't talk about much.
Exactly. And it's a bird which. So it's not that. We wanted this to be clear that it's not a parakeet whose wings have fallen off. It is a fully wingless parakeet that has genetically.
That has a land speed of up to 40 miles an hour.
And has adapted a lot of the surface behaviours and face patterns of a British short-haired cat, which is one of those amazing things that can happen with evolution. Mm. It's a false cat. It's not a cat. It's a wingless parakeet. So obviously, a cat...
fool's cat.
It's a fool's cat, some would say.
Of course, the other identity she's got is Slinky Badger.
The gun runner.
We've got Slinky Badger. We've got very, very, very large nano pig. So we've got a beast nano pig, a micro mega hound. Got various different ones like that.
And in a crisis, she can just masquerade as a long-haired embroidered poof, can't she?
Exactly. Yeah, that's like hunker down, Bluebell. Stare at the floor.
You've just got to remind people not to put their feet on it because it's just been upholstered. So please don't put your feet up on it.
Yeah. And don't worry about the way that it's walking around the room or appears to be walking around the room. It's like one of those hoovers you've heard about which go around the floor hoovering automatically as if they've got a life of their own, is actually programmed.
It's a footstool.
It's a footstool. It's for the footstool for the young urban couple on the go who don't know exactly where they want to relax or put their feet up any one time. Don't want to be restricted by a static puff.
Very restless legs, very fidgety.
Exactly.
Can't concentrate on anything for more than 10 seconds.
Which is exactly what the world's like these days, isn't it? What with the internet and social media. So, if anything, it's a current poof. It's a poof for our times. Move on. So, yeah, so again, all the identities have a backstory to go with them.
Yes. Mm. Sounds pretty bulletproof, Henry.
It's pretty bulletproof. I mean, you know, there is...
Meanwhile, you're getting an absolute grilling outside your front door as all this is going on.
Exactly. But at least I'll know, I'll be safe in the knowledge that the people I care about the most are being shot fairly randomly with World War One technology.
Into the continent. Deep into the continent.
Deep into the continent, where rumour will, you know, they'll have at least a 1 or 2 day head start on the rumour, because rumour, you know, rumour
travels in the same way, doesn't it?
Rumour travels
through World War One guns.
Exactly.
Yeah, and thanks to that, you'll be able to parry their most difficult questions with ease, won't you, I expect? Yeah.
Whereas Mike and I, 100% caves. Cave systems.
Cave dwelling, yeah.
Deep in the caves of the Mendips.
Potholes.
Yeah.
Eating only mature cheddar at the bottom of a cave.
Arguing about which one is a stalagmite and which one is a stalactite. Yeah. That'll be what finishes us off.
Well, both of you being ravaged by intense vitamin D deficiency, won't you, Dan? That you'll be...
Well, you know how animals that live in those caves evolve not to have eyes?
That's right.
That'll happen to us very quickly.
Very quickly. So, which is what happens if you lack enough vitamin D.
Yeah,
it's all triggered by the vitamin D proteins. But basically, yeah, your eyes will initially they'll glaze over with a yellow sort of film.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Your pupils will rotate about 45 degrees.
So everything looks like it's on a slope.
Yep,
that'll itch in the cave system. It is, so it's quite handy. It's a sort of auto-adjust feature.
It's the body's auto-adjust. And obviously you will, you'll quickly start noticing that you're sleeping upside down. You won't realise that till the first time that you wake up and fall off. Land with a clunk, then you realise that your toenails will... Looking in the same way that if you put a plant in a cave, the tendrils grow very, very long.
It eventually grows very long ears.
To try and hear the light. If it can't see the light, it'll try and hear the light.
People don't realise light is actually an audio frequency.
Well, it's a wave. So like, we don't need to go into this, but it's a wave. So you can hear waves and you can see waves. But yes.
And just to say, you can now get Three Bean Salad as a light show. If you join the Patreon.
You can project it at a wedding. You can project it onto a loved one. Or just... project it onto the wall of a basement.
Or if you're being held, yeah. Of course...
or a ruined abbey.
maybe a ruined abbey with, like, Santana playing front.
Yeah.
Or Yanni.
But he's also appearing as light. He's appearing as ultraviolet.
Here's his own frequency, of course. But the eyes obviously glaze over and then eventually come off. We would become hairless, I think, very quickly.
Mm. Well, that's partly because there's nothing to do down there apart from shave each other. Right? But eventually it doesn't grow back.
Yeah, so your toenails will grow very long. In the same way that plants seek the light, your toenails will seek the light. And eventually you'll be able to climb around on them, hang off them.
That will be eventually what gives us away as they begin to protrude through the earth of Somerset.
Yeah.
And get caught in a combine harvester.
Yeah.
We're dragged up to the surface. And pilloried.
And obviously there'll be a lot of sections of the press will be saying, just look at them. Surely that's punishment enough. Look at them. Obviously don't look at them directly, but...
yeah, you have to look at them through the reflection of a shield.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, throw a drape over them.
Give them a prod, get the general idea. Yeah.
And
quite mushy. It'll be quite mushy by then.
I'm pretty sure a lot of the skin would have sloughed off as well. It's quite damp down there.
We might even be fused, potentially.
Yeah. Well, I think you're...
Well, basically, the two of us will basically be like quite a thick, hairless yogurt.
Well, it's cave sputum, isn't it? You'll have turned into cave sputum, and that's how the cave ecosystem then, you know, grows again from that. So from then, we'll grow... And it's a wonderful thing, nature, isn't it? From then, we'll grow the cave rats, the cave The cave bats.
The cave hats.
Cave hats, the cave mats. Meanwhile, I will still be in San Quentin Correctional Facility. And it won't be clear at that point who came off best, probably.
Anyway, so that's why we're not broadcasting that.
Also, we weren't recording it, so...
Yes.
Yeah. Two reasons.
Yeah.
Two reasons.
But just in cases... Yeah, just to be clear, it was absolutely salacious and it was absolutely deliciously more wrong, wasn't it? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Some of the things we were saying were like, oh, hello, this is deliciously wrong. A bit like when you go, well, I shouldn't have the gâteau. But I will have, but I will have the gâteau. And you put your spoon into the gâteau and you go, hang on a minute. Is that
a nest of vipers?
Is that a nest of vipers within the gâteau? I think it is. Oh, they're slipping down my mouth. Oh, this is all so wrong, but so right.
Okay, that was Extra Beans.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for signing up on the Patreon. You are the hero, listeners.
Thank you so much.
See you next time.
Bye.
Cheerio. Bye.